broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the broadcast for December 5th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is our two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. All right. Wow. You know what? No king but King Jesus. I'm telling you right now, folks, these people are crazy. We seem to be just enamored with celebrities in our society. We just seem to be enamored with, quote, rock stars. I mean, I almost want to pretend I'm Nickelback and go, hey, hey, I want to be a rock star. I don't want to be a rock star. We reject rock stars. We reject these celebrity status folks. Ladies and gentlemen, they've got an article in USA Today that says, a solemn sense of awe at Capitol Rotunda. Everybody's just in George Bush, King George worship. It's out of control, folks. You got a national day of mourning going on today. What's open? What's closed? I mean, the bottom line is you got the House of Representatives took a whole week off over this. You got the Senate stalled. You got the Donald just heaping praises on this New World Order thug, George W. Bush. I mean, it's beyond imagination. Look, this is the guy that lied to you on taxes, right? He flat out lied. Listen up.
My opponent won't rule out raising taxes, but I will, and the Congress will push me to raise taxes, and I'll say no, and they'll push, and I'll say no, and they'll push again, and I'll say to them, read my lips. No new taxes.
Yeah, the worship's so loud you can't even hear him finish saying no new taxes, but you know what? They praised him, and they still praise him. But he lied, and he raised taxes. He also promoted making the United States and our supreme law of the land subject to globalism, right? Listen.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
I mean, this guy absolutely betrayed America, and now we've got this idol worship, this hero worship going on. It is, I'm telling you, no king but King Jesus is all I got to say. Becky Akers with us, well-known author and more. What do you say to that?
Well, thank you, Sam. It's always a pleasure and a privilege. And it's interesting you bring this up. I publish a fortnightly column at personallibertydigest.com.
Hold on. Personallibertydigest.com, folks, if you want to check it out. Go ahead.
Yes. And I'm sorry. I think actually the address is personalliberty.com, but the title of the website is Personal Liberty Digest.
Okay. Personallibertydigest.com, folks. Go ahead.
At any rate, my column this week, that's exactly what I'm writing about. I have been appalled at the insanity over this traitor to everything America stands for. My thesis is that Americans worship political power, not liberty, because everything the media has published about George Bush is a lie. This man invented lies like other people breathe. Everything he said was a lie, whether he said it about himself, whether he said it about the country. There are two gentlemen who have researched Bush's life. One of them is named Roger Stone. He's actually a Republican political consultant who's worked on various political campaigns. The other gentleman is an investigative reporter who used to work in the mainstream until he started reporting the truth about George Bush. And that truth encompasses such criminality as the fact that George Bush knew, and the entire Bush family actually knew for a very long time and was heavily involved with the Hinckley family. Now, that won't ring any bells until you remember that the Hinckleys had a supposedly deranged son named John Hinckley Jr., who tried to kill President Reagan when George Bush was vice president. There's this quaint concept that used to prevail in America called motive for a crime. It's kind of gone out the window. The TSA, for example, prosecutes pastors who have no criminal intent whatsoever, as simply have forgotten the gun in their bag, but they're prosecuted as though they are truly criminals. Well, here is the motive for why Reagan was shot, and George Bush just kind of escaped all scrutiny, okay? We have the same problem with the Kennedy assassination. George Bush was actually, and this is all coming from FBI documents that were recently declassified, George Bush was actually in Dallas just steps away from where Kennedy was, and he was working for the CIA at the time. This also is proven from FBI documents that talk about George Bush from the CIA, okay? And yet this man has lied and lied and lied some more about all this criminal activity. So everything we have been reading about him, all the hagiography, all the praise, it's all a lie. However, given that, I would still contend that what was published by the mainstream last week, all that propaganda, should nevertheless have enraged Americans because of its content. Okay, so let's go with what the media said about George Bush. One of the things various papers have praised him, various media have praised him for, is the Gulf War. Can anyone tell me why we fought that war? Why?
Well, it was an unconstitutional, because it was never declared, immoral war, to say the least.
Why were 1,565 Americans sacrificed over there in a desert that has nothing to do with any American interest except for those of George Bush's cronies, okay? And yet the media is praising him for that, and they actually have a quote to him. I just could not believe this quote from Bush. It was all about how, you know what that war did? It convinced those countries over there that thought we'd never go over there and intrude that we will go over there and intrude. Can you imagine, is there a more demonic casus belli than to say, I want to show the world we're bullies. I want to show the world that we can boss them around and they better come to. There were tens of thousands, I've seen estimates as high as 100,000 Iraqis killed in that war, okay? We invaded a country we had no business being in. And George Bush and his army and the volunteers in that army slaughtered 100,000 people who had done nothing to us, okay? What do we care if they had invaded Kuwait? That's none of our concern, none of our business. And yet George Bush went over there. Now, if Americans loved liberty, if Americans had any decency, just that quote from George Bush about we're going to show them who's boss, that alone would have roused Americans to the streets, would have brought us out protesting the deification of this warmongering criminal. Instead, people just sit.
And you know what's going to happen? You know what's going to happen? The blowback from other nations eventually, the hatred for Americans, the hatred for the pro-war immoral agenda, the arming, the training, the funding of enemies around the world. Eventually, these other nations are going to rise up and are going to say, you know what? The hegemony idea of the United States is out of control. They've got to be stopped. That's coming, Becky.
Oh, absolutely. And many people would say it already has. Americans are being seized and imprisoned around the world. Look at what Turkey has done to different Americans. I was just reading about 7 hostages that are being held. I think it was in Iran. I'm not positive about that. It was either Iran or Iraq. Okay. I mean, the Middle East has been a cauldron of resentment and anger and hatred for generations. What are we doing there? Why are we interfering in their interfamily squabbles? It's none of our concern. There is no constitutional justification for our doing anything. anything over there, let alone slaughtering them and slaughtering our own people.
Well, and even if you say something's got to be done, we need to follow the supreme law of the land if we're going to even do it at all, which would mean Congress needs to declare war. The House of Representatives would need to fund an appropriate plan to get in and get out and get it done. That's all by design from the founders to make sure that we, the people, have a say. And when the president acts unilaterally like they're doing right now in war after war after war after war with no declaration, Congress is held over a barrel saying, well, you can't deny funding now. We're already there. Do you want to hurt our troops? It's all a big game. But what they violated are the checks and balances that make America great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And George Bush was a pro at that. Let's remember, too, that the ostensible reason we were in Kuwait and slaughtering people in the Mideast is because the UN told us to. Okay, so once again, we have the globalist aspect, an American president sacrificing American taxes and American lives to the UN's agenda. You know, something else that really, really irritates me, Sam, is every time I hear how George Bush served his country. Okay, let's dispense with this malarkey. He didn't serve anyone. We slaved for him. This is a man who most of his adult life, with his large family, sponged off us, overpaid politicians who do nothing but disrupt our lives, declare wars, kill us, and steal from us. This overpaid politician, with his Secret Service protection and his luxurious residences and his limos and his staff and everything else, and George Bush isn't the only one who does this. Just every politician does.
And you know what they've done? We got a quick break coming up, Becky. You know what they've done, though? They've created a dynasty family.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
The reason that I focus so much on this, because look, how many families in America can say they've had father and son as both presidents of the United States? Is there any other family that can make that claim? And then what about a brother? Hold on. What about a brother
just
being a governor?
More.
And we'll talk about it when we come back, ladies and gentlemen. But this is critical to understand. We need to prevent the dynasty families in America, too. Hold on.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare. The war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
The runner on third takes a short lead. Elwood glances over. Now back to the plate. He sets the pitch. It's swung on strike three. They've won it. They have won it. World champions. Jim, what's it like down on the field?
John, it's a madhouse down here. I'm trying to get to Bob Elwood, the winning pitcher. Bob, how does it feel? Winning the seventh game on a strikeout.
Yeah, I thought he'd be looking for a slider, so I came on with my fastball.
World champions! Is this the greatest moment of your life?
Absolutely not. Jim, the best moments for me are breakfast with the kids. Long walks with my wife, just holding her hand, you know?
Marriage. You're never too far apart when you're still holding hands. From your neighbors, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Jim, when was the last time you held your wife's hand?
Well, it's been a while.
I tell you, you need to step up to the plate, Jim.
For more tips on strengthening your marriage, visit family.mormon.org.
All right, come on, ladies and gentlemen. There ain't no other talk show on the planet like it. Liberty Roundtable live at your fingertips 24/7. LibertyRoundtable.com, live and on demand. It's free. Our guest, Becky Akers, well-known author. Her incredible books, get them for Christmas. I'm telling you, it'll be a delightful read for any of your family members. And if they're not quite as political, shock them. Let them read them. They're a fun read. Even if you're not too political, you go, wow, I didn't know that. That's fascinating. Hailstorm, an incredible book about Nathan Hale. He was a real patriot, ladies and gentlemen. There's no doubt about it. And then Abducting Arnold. How about The Other Side of the Story? You want to check that out? Incredible books. Look for them by name. Becky Akers, Hailstorm. Or Becky Akers, Abducting Arnold. Buy them before they're banned. All right, we're talking about this worshiping of George W. Bush. I mean, it's absolutely King Bush, folks, is what has gone on. It's absolutely insane. This guy was a thug. This guy did everything that violated his oath that he took. But we're talking about a dynasty family here. It's one thing to say, you know what, Dad was a bad guy. But Prescott Bush, believe it or not, was into the eugenics movement in World War II. Okay, Prescott was out of control, doing everything he could to undermine the United States of America and the freedom of people around the world. Okay, and then Prescott came George, and George was in the CIA. Very, very strange stuff. Iran-Contra, I mean, we go, wow, drug running. I mean, the list goes, skull and crossbones stuff. I mean, there's so many allegations. How much of it's fact or fiction is hard to even ferret out. Nevertheless, this guy then had a son who became president of the United States. A brother of his, another son, became a governor of a big state, a huge state. And the dynasty family's not even done. I personally believe a lot of this unintentional or misguided hero worship by the people, what they're really doing is launching the Bush family to continue their dynasty, Becky.
Oh, yes, without a doubt. And I must say, Sam, I don't share the horror of dynasties. I know that many, many people do, many devout patriots, they are just absolutely appalled at the idea of a dynasty. It doesn't bother me as much, I suppose, because, you know, whether a politician is a Bush or a Kennedy or Joe Smith, they all stink. They're all cut from the same cloth. They're all going to rob us. They're all going to send our kids and our brothers and our fathers and our families and friends overseas to die in wars to advance their and their cronies' agendas that have nothing to do with us. They are always going to rule against our best interests. It doesn't matter to me who these people are or where they're born or to whom they're born. What matters to me is that they are predators.
Let me tell you why a dynasty bothers me. Because unless you pull the lever of government in your favor and get special privilege, in other words, unless you pull the lever in your favor at the expense of the many and use government to do it, you can't create a dynasty.
Yes, you're absolutely right about that, Sam. But I guess my only point is that every politician, regardless of his family name, is a danger. And that's what I have been absolutely shocked to see this week. Americans have lost that idea entirely. They are sitting there saying, yes, this guy who sponged office all his life, with his extensive family also sponging office, this guy benefited us. No, he didn't. He lived off you. He mooched off you. You have sacrificed the things you most wanted. Your children have done without. You have worked long hours. You have been paying the IRS all these years to finance the Bush family's estates and limos and helicopters and private planes and Secret Service protection. This should enrage you. And instead, the media tells us that Bush served us. Oh, my.
Wow, it's out of control. All right, it's getting worse, though, because you know what? Our free speech, we're the only ones probably being very critical of George Bush. And again, I don't mean to attack him as a person. You know, we hear that he wrote nice letters to his son and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I don't know him as a person. I can't judge his heart. But what I can say is this. Everything he did as president, as a leader of the CIA and this dynasty family, they have really done things that undermine their oath of office and undermine their commitment to the United States. And the media has helped cover those things up is why we attack it. We attack it because you need to know the truth of how to defend America. And when you promote a new world order but swear an oath to the supreme law of the land as president, in my opinion, that there's seeds of being a traitor. There's seeds of treason. And I'm telling you, you can't have both. And somebody has got to have the guts to call a spade on this thing. I'm telling you right now. All right. Our free speech is being trampled, as you know. The new trade agreement, believe it or not, what do they call this thing? USMCA, supposed to replace NAFTA and GATT or NAFTA or whatever. It's disaster. It gives big tech the ability to censor us even further, quote, internationally. It's disaster. Anyway, I bring all this up because, as you know, there's people saying that if you criticize global warming, you should be arrested. If you criticize the climate change and suggest that it's not real, you're a climate change denier. kind of like a Holocaust denier. You're a climate change denier, and therefore you should be arrested over that, they say. Well, now it's getting worse. It's unreal. The United Nations wants caravan critics arrested. So if I criticize illegal activity, these people with diseases and criminal histories and murderers and rapists and pillagers and plunderers and people that are literally trying to assault our border patrol agents and breach our sovereignty and everything else. If I speak out critically of that, the United Nations wants caravan critics arrested. They're moving big time to violate free speech. It's out of control, Becky, but imagine critics of the caravan. Critics of climate change. We can't even have our own right to our own beliefs on these issues anymore. They're threatening, quote, international-led arrests.
You know, Jim, all of this was caved, I don't know, was it 10 or 15, 20 years ago, with the Holocaust deniers malarkey that, you know, not only did that squelch free speech, but it also squelched genuine historical inquiry. It's very difficult to tell what happened decades, centuries ago. As a historian, I can tell you right now, you've got to read a lot of original sources. You've got to be open to new facts that are discovered in those sources. Often sources have been hidden for years. They come out, new things are revealed. You may have to revise your theories entirely about what somebody did and why. I was like that with Benedict Arnold for my book, Abducting Arnold, my novel. I went into it thinking Arnold was the worst traitor of all and really hating him, really, thinking him at all good. And within just a few months of reading original documents that he wrote, reading things that other people wrote about him, looking at his activities, analyzing his life, I had to change my theory entirely, okay? What happens when you have governments threatening researchers and historians who will dare to stand up against the mainstream and say, you know what, you're wrong about this. The facts don't add up, okay? They may be wrong. Okay, I could be wrong about Arnold. None of us lived back then. None of us know for sure. I'm just saying my best guess based on what he said, just as people who question the figures of the dead during Hitler's reign may be wrong. Maybe the original estimates are correct. We don't know. And as new documents from the Nazi government are revealed, our estimates have to change. But for government, with its political power to intrude in this, stifles all, not only free expression, but stifles the truth, okay? And that's what you have going on now with climate change. You have a lot of political people, political cronies, and governments making lots and lots of money and earning lots and lots of power off the idea that man can change the climate. These people are not going to give up without fighting hard, and that's what we're seeing. So when they can't do anything else, when the truth is in danger of coming out, what they do is bring the power of government against anyone who is threatening their hegemony, and that's what we're seeing with all of this.
And the mentality of the people is, I'm going to be quiet and make sure they arrest somebody else, instead of standing up and stopping it and having a indignation rise to the level of saying, we're not going to tolerate this kind of behavior from you leaders. What we do is we basically cower and we say, well, if I don't say anything, or if I sidestep this, or if I, then somebody else will be the one to get arrested, not me, even though I might think the way they do. And they're basically just burying their head in the sand and hoping for a better day. But I'm telling you, unless we stand together, a better day will never come.
I'm reminded of that wonderful quote from Alexander Solzhenitsyn when he, I think it's in the Gulag Archipelago, where he talks about why didn't we resist? You know, we could have made the Red Guards who came out and arrested people. We cowered in our apartments. We heard them coming for our neighbors, and we didn't do anything. We were so afraid they'd come after us. Why didn't we go out there and make sure that we surrounded them en masse, that we...
Oh, yeah, when two of those thugs came to get somebody, they could have just had a whole neighborhood take them out.
Yes.
So you know what? You're not doing that. We're locking you up, my friend. This is crazy town. We're not doing that. But again, everybody cowered. And the problem is history repeats itself. We're about to do the same kind of things.
Absolutely, Sam. And I don't think most Americans have the idea that it's politicians against us. We need to stick together against the politicians.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I know it sounds dire. I know it sounds crazy. But let's just talk about a couple of things that are happening on the border to make the point. And people are getting arrested in droves as well. Philip Zodiati reports to prison today. Did you know that? Liberty Roundtable Live, I'm Sam, he's Kurt, Becky's Becky, and you're you. Get her incredible books. Abducting Arnold. Incredible book.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
All right, live and on your radio, Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, Becky Akers, Abducting Arnold, incredible book for Christmas. I'm telling you right now, you want to hear the other side of the story, you got to check it out. Also, Hailstorm. You know, I want to do kind of be a little different than Becky slightly. You know, she believes all politicians belong at the bottom of the ocean with whale droppings. And for the most part, I think her point's spot on. But I do believe there are some good people who do try and who do care. George Washington was one. Patrick Henry was another. Nathan Hale was another. I mean, there are through history a few people. I try to do the best I can. Now, I know that I'm fallible. I know that I'm subject to greed and mistakes and just like everybody else. But I do know my own heart, and I know I try to truly follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and I truly try to not be a man that wants worship or celebrity status. I truly try to be a man who wants the freedom of Americans to be front and center, and a man who truly cares about what we're doing. And I know that nobody should trust in me, because you know what? I'm subject to failing as well. So let's be very careful about that. But I do believe that there are a lot of good people with good intentions. And we need to make sure that we're at least careful about that to some degree. Now, interestingly enough, speaking of the border, feds pay headhunter firm $43 million dollars. Now listen to this. Feds pay hunter firm, so a group that headhunters, if you will, to find, quote, border agents. Remember, we were going to put a ton of border agents, 7,000 plus on the border. They spent $43 million. They've hired 15, and they got 33 that haven't started yet. So, what, 47 of them? For $43 million, so almost a million an agent. It's out of control. Now, the caravan migrants are backing down from storming the border, saying they were lied to by leaders. We need to discover who those leaders are, folks. Why did we ever let them get to our border in the first place? Why don't we stop the foreign aid? Donald promised it, but never's done it. Why don't we close the border? Why don't we... Well, anyway, a video now shows migrant kids being dropped over an Arizona border fence. I mean, it's out of control, Becky. They're literally getting into the United States illegally. Donald pretends he's going to stop it, talks big, but as far as I can see, nothing happens.
Yes, and Tim, if I may, let me go back to your original
comments
about politicians and their worthlessness. We kind of morphed everybody into that. And my point is that politicians, not you, not Nathan Hale, he was not a politician, but politicians, and especially modern ones, although we can see the same tendencies at work in George Washington, as good as he was and as noble as he was, but politicians as a class are predatory. They want to leech off us, and they want to use us to make themselves feel good. Okay, and this is not simply my opinion. Studies have been done showing that there's a very high percentage of sociopaths who go into politics, okay? I am not saying that the ordinary person out there doesn't have good intentions. That's untrue. I know that on its face, that that is just against reality. There are many well-intentioned people, but they don't go into politics. Or if they do, they realize very quickly they've made a mistake and they get the heck out, okay? So I'm not saying that nobody with good intentions lives anywhere, and certainly, Sam, unless you're holding out on me, you are not a politician, and so you do not fall into this class of predation. Are there people who aren't in politics who are bad? Yes, but politics tends to attract the worst among us. That's my only point, okay?
And by the way, I agree with your point completely. I mainly wanted to clarify for the audience, though, so they understand what we are saying. Hey, this idea that when you run for politics, the chance of you being able to stay true and do that are almost zero.
Almost zero. Absolutely. There have been very, very few exceptions to that. I would say that Ron Paul is one exception. But again, I've never researched Ron Paul's life. I'm sure that if we got into it, we would find things that really make us cringe. The same thing with George Washington, a noble, noble man. There has never been, and I don't think there ever will be, another man quite like him, although we could say that about any of us. But still, you start researching, you come across stuff, and you just think, you shouldn't have done that, George. Okay? So I'm just, my only point is that politicians as a class are predators. We need to understand that.
And it's a good point, and it's factual and true. And I just wanted to make sure people understand what we're saying and what we're not. That's all. I want people to really understand that even great, 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 great people, hey, they're forced to make decisions where there's no good answers. So they make choices. They're also forced into situations that they have no control over. What do you do? They're also human, and they kind of get caught up in some of this. They can't help it. It's human nature. That's why when we started this program, I said, no king but King Jesus. That's why. There is nobody on the book. We're just man, and we cannot trust in the arm of flesh. We need to trust in God. And there is no other answer. And I bring that up to say we need to be very careful when we start trusting in people, even good people, even great people. You know what? We need to be very, very careful. All right, videos showing migrant borders or agent people are dropping kids over the border fences. An 18-foot high fence. You literally have a video, so the media can get a video of it. But the border agents supposedly can't stop it. You have a drug runner, you know, kind of a kingpin, a trafficker of people, whatever you want to call it, literally dropping kids over an 18-foot high fence. And the media gets video of it. And, well, the border agents came too late, so they got to grant them asylum, and the kid got a bloody nose, and so they had to do first aid. And, I mean, this is insanity from what we're being told, Becky.
Yes, I have to say, Sam, this is what happens when we violate the Constitution. Okay, the Constitution never, ever empowers the federal government to control anyone's movements anywhere, not between states, not into or out of the country. The entire immigration apparatus is totally unconstitutional. And this is one reason why the founders didn't confide this kind of power to government, because you will have things like $43 million spent on purchasing Asians. Okay, interestingly, Sam, TSA did the exact same thing when it was first being set up. They spent millions of our dollars, dollars that we struggle hard to earn and that they then rob us of. They spent those dollars hiring a minute amount of gropers to the airports, and I forget what the exact figures were, like, you know, $30 million to hire 15 gropers or something like that. But this is why the founders and the Constitution do not confide this type of power to government, okay? The entire immigration apparatus came into existence in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, and all we've done since then is tinker with it. But you need to understand that what you are doing when you say you want the federal government to control who gets into and out of the country, you are basically saying, I want bureaucrats, whom I don't trust in any other situation, I want bureaucrats to determine who's going to be my neighbor and who's going to be my friends, who's going to be my employees and who's going to hire me, okay? Because you are entrusting to bureaucrats the power to decide who will be coming to this country and who will not, all right? They have absolutely botched it, okay? In the colonial time, the King of England and his parliament decided who would be coming to this country and who wouldn't. And basically what they did was they used the colonies as a dumping ground for criminals. Now, we need to understand in the 18th century, English law was the most severe virtually in the world. You could be arrested and imprisoned for a tiny little thing like shoplifting a handkerchief. Okay, not that that's right, not that that's a good thing to do, but I'm just saying you could be sentenced to transportation on a ship where you would almost die before you landed in America, and then you were indentured as a slave for 7 years. That was your punishment for pinching a handkerchief, okay? So it was a draconian system, but what happened was, you know, the if you weren't brutalized on that ship, if you didn't come off that ship a far worse person than when you got on it, then you were a saint, okay? And the colonists resented this. They didn't want people who'd been brutalized into behaving like bona fide criminals to be running loose around them. That is why the founders said, no power like that given to the federal government. We're just not going to have it. We've already suffered the bad effects of a bureaucrat and a government making the decisions on who will live among us. We're not going to do that, okay? How have we gotten away from this? How have we forgotten these lessons? All right, this is very, very crucial to understanding the debate over immigration. You've got Democrats and Republicans both refusing to divulge this sort of information. And we need to understand that what they are doing is saying, we want the power to determine the composition of the country, and we will decide whether this group or that group gets to come in. Why are we allowing them to do that?
It's an interesting debate, that's for sure. There's a lot of libertarians and folks that say, hey, we should have no border controls or patrols or whatever you want to say. Others say, hey, we got to lock it down or we're going to lose our nation. And the debate rages on, that's for sure. Gamblers are doubling down, though. This is an interesting story I want to pick Becky's brain on as well. Gamblers are doubling down. It's a very interesting twist, but it just shows the immorality around the world, I guess you could say. Kurt will have the details in seconds. Sam, Kurt, and Becky on your radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The CoSurtified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, Becky Akers. So, you know, the border's an interesting battle. On one hand, you know, you want to root for the guys that want to lock down the border because you say, hey, you know what, we can't have these criminals entering America. I mean, somebody's got to do something. On the other hand, you say, hey, where do they get their authority? The battle rages on. Some would say, well, the whole purpose of government is to protect life. And if these thugs come in and start taking lives, somebody's got to do something. Somebody says, well, what about liberty? And somebody else says, well, what about property? And somebody else says, yeah, but there's no authority explicitly granted. And so the debate rages on. The border issue is a hard one. I find myself between the ones that want to lock down the border hard and Becky, in the sense that I'm not so sure that I want to have a wall. Walls can keep people out, but walls can also keep people in. So I find myself in the middle on it a little bit and say there is a legitimate role of government to protect the people to some degree. But at the same time, if we're not very careful, when do we cross the line and when does government have way too much authority? The battle rages on. Anyway, I digress. I guess gamblers are doubling down on transgender Miss Universe contestant. They're betting. I don't know if you say she's going to win. Do you say that, Kurt? It's going to win? What the heck?
Yeah, I don't really know. But
bottom line is he's going to win the Miss Universe contest, folks.
Yeah, this individual from Spain, they call the individual Angela Ponce, they won, this individual won its qualifying rounds in Spain, and they say they hail from Seville. They're the first transgender woman. Translation would be a man moving to a woman, I think, to be crowned Miss Universe Spain, and they're competing to promote gender diversity and equality. Now they say they're
they're promoting perverted
heavy
lies, but that's just me.
Heavy favorite to win. I guess this is exactly one other reason I have sworn off watching Miss Universe pageant. But anyway, if you're an odds-on big gambler, you might want to bet on somebody called from Miss Mauritius. That's a small island in the Indian Ocean. They're going to pay, I think it's 200 million to one if she wins. So, you just want to keep
track. Yeah, you can go ahead and bet on your odds. All I know is if you bet on perversion, sad to say, you'll probably win. Becky?
That's good. I think I can improve on that.
What do you think on this thing? I mean, we're literally taking men, pretending they're women, putting them in pageants, and then betting they're going to win. I mean, this is absolutely insanity. The efforts in Rome that eventually destroyed their whole country, if you will, were nothing compared to this stuff, it seems.
Oh, I agree entirely, Sam. In fact, it's fascinating to me that throughout history, so far as I know, there has been only one gentleman who claimed to feel like a woman, and that was, in fact, a Roman emperor. And he was a later Roman emperor. Many of them were insane. He left a few documents, personal documents, in which he implies that he wishes he had been born a woman. Okay, and throughout history, I can't think of another example like that. So it's fascinating to me to watch the lemming-like qualities that people exhibit. Okay, it was the same thing with sodomy, and you know, in the ancient world, Sparta, part of Greece, that produced a very much a warrior class. Sparta was pretty communistic. It was very militaristic, and all its resources were devoted to developing its army, okay? Sparta absolutely frowned on homosexuality. They laughed at it. They thought it was hilarious, and consequently, you don't see homosexuals among the Spartan population. The Athenians, however, among the upper classes, at a certain point, encouraged it, and so you find lots of sodomites among them, okay? So it's very much a social pathology. I'm not saying that there aren't people born and they have those urges, but once you allow it, once you say this is a good way to be, you suddenly find an absolute explosion of people without the inner resources and the moral fortitude to say, you know what, this is wicked and evil, it will destroy me, and I want nothing to do with it.
Sin begat sin is the point.
Yes, absolutely. It is sin. There is no H chromosome that makes someone, quote, gay, okay? You can't make the claim you're born that way. It doesn't happen. There are no genes that are changed when a guy says, you know what, I really think I'm a woman, okay? And he goes and he has cosmetic surgery that changes his surface appearance, but that's all it does. He still has every single male chromosome God gave him. And that's what he is. Now, let's also realize the hidden message here. All of these people are saying there is no God, and if there were, he made a mistake when he made me. I should have been this other sex, and I'm not. Okay, so this is a finger in the eye to God. This is absolute defiance of the Creator's sovereignty. It is utter, absolute wickedness. And we shouldn't be surprised, Ben Sam, when we look at the pathological behaviors in this community, all the markers for really bad results and effects are sky high. Okay, they have enormous rates of suicide. They have enormous rates of every other pathology you can think of, whatever illness it is, whatever depression it is. In the transgender, quote, community, those pathologies are sky high. So the Lord protects us from ourselves. When he tells us, don't dress as the other sex, okay, that's in the Levitical law. A man is not to put on a woman's clothing, and women are not to put on men's clothing, okay? When he says that, it is to protect us from undesirable effects. It's not to spoil our fun. It is to protect us. And when these people come forward and say, I should have been born something other than what I was, they are directly challenging the Almighty.
Wow. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now, it's out of control. This story just shows, you know, what we're dealing with in America. And I'm telling you right now, I don't care what issue you bring up to me that's ailing the country, that's ailing the people, that's destroying families, that's just severing us from God. It all comes back to this. Sin begats sin. And I'm telling you right now, from gambling to doubling down on transgender to government out of control to caravan migrants to, you know, all I'm telling you, slavery and human and sex trafficking. And I mean, it all comes down to we're violating the laws of God. And the only way to fix it, folks, is to turn back to God and keep his commandments and realize that we don't turn to government for solutions. We turn to God. And if we're self-governed and we obey God, we're going to be blessed. And if we don't, I'm telling you, we're going to reap the whirlwind. It's that simple of a reality check. A couple of quick stories before the end of the hour. Thomson Reuters, the huge media company, they're going to cut their workforce by 12%. In the next 2 years, they're going to slash 3,200 jobs. They've got to get costs under control, Kurt.
Ooh, yeah. You know, as far as I can tell, the Reuters boys are part of the big, you know, insider media And I guess you could say it's good news that maybe they've got a little less money to go around, and maybe more of the new media is taking center stage.
Amen to that. Before the end of the hour, Becky, don't worry, Nancy Pelosi has declared war on President Trump and the Republican Party. I find that a funny headline.
So do I. Oh, she just now declared it after fighting all life against them.
Yeah, I mean, for the last 50 years, we've had this throwdown between the Republican and Democrats. Both of them are private parties that control politics. They have a lever of government and a special privilege at the trough of manipulation like no other. And now we hear that Nancy's going to declare war on the Donald. And this partisan politics, I mean, it just keeps the people stuck in this political theater idea that somehow, if they just point the finger left or right, that something's going to change or something's going to, oh my goodness, we got a big worry on our hands. Oh my goodness, this is the most important voting election cycle we've ever had. And when they just continue this narrative, when are people going to wake the heck up?
Sam, I wondered the same thing. It is so transparent. It is the bread and circuses of the Roman Empire to keep the populace distracted. And the politicians all act their part, and they all act like they're on opposing teams. And, you know, it gets the competitive juices flowing among the populace, and we root for our team just as we root at baseball or football games, and it's all a sham. These people are allied against us. They all understand that. They all understand that their class comes first, and it's them against us. It's time we woke up and realized the same thing. It is politicians against the populace. It is not Democrats versus Republicans. It is not white versus black. It is not any other group you can think of. It is politicians against the populace.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Worldview reports that measles outbreaks in New York and Israel blamed on the anti-vaccine movement. You want to finish on that one, Becky?
That always makes me laugh so hard. Okay, who is not going to get measles? The people who've been vaccinated, supposedly. Why then, if you choose not to get vaccinated, are you causing an outbreak? You're not. Supposedly, the people who've been vaccinated are safe from you, so why do they care? Now, in actuality, the vaccines, of course, don't work. I was just reading an article yesterday, in fact, Sam, about a kindergarten that everybody in it was vaccinated, and one kid still got measles, and something like 44% of the class also came down with it. So they don't work. There's a lot of evidence that they do considerable damage, that they, you know, in addition to not working. This is nothing that any government should be involved with. And if they are, we know that they are tyrannies. You can't tell people what they may and may not put into their body without being a tyrant.
And it's comical. They say you can't stop a woman from murdering her child because she has the right to her body. And then they can say that they can force me to take the jab.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I'm always wondering about the pro-abortion fanatics. It's like, you know, we can't tell a woman what she can put into her body. Really? I bet if she wants to put heroin into that body, you'll be all in favor of throwing her in a cage. So, yeah, they are utter hypocrites, and they're utterly irrational. But, you know, this vaccine nonsense is really the, you know, to me is solid proof that we live in a dictatorship.
Ladies and gentlemen, Becky's working on her third book. It's not available yet, but her first two are Abducting Arnold. You want to hear the other side of the story in an easy-to-read novel? Great Christmas gift, folks. Abducting Arnold is one of her books. Hailstorm, about Nathan Hale, one of the greatest patriots ever, the story of Nathan and how he was so strong in the face of literally what, governments murdering him? But he stood strong and said, you know what, liberty matters. And if my life is sacrificed in the sacred cause of liberty, so be it. These are critical novels. They're fun to read, but yet they have poignant points that need to be made when it comes to the sacred cause of liberty. Becky, final words, yours. Merry Christmas to you and your family if we don't talk before.
Thank you so much, Sam. Let me wish all your audience a Merry Christmas and you and your family as well. And let us joyfully celebrate the Messiah's birth.
Amen. Kurt, you want a word?
You know, I don't know what else to say, but Becky said it pretty well as I guess you could say, God bless America and God bless the world.
Amen. And I act as the third witness that no king but King Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. We stand for God, family, and country, and we always will. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. We love Liberty and pray you do as well. Please spread the word. LibertyRoundtable.com for live and on-demand radio at your fingertips and more. And ladies and gentlemen, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.